Okay, so to get things started, since fate is our topic, let's just amend the word, shall we?
What do you mean?
Because fate is not a word a scientist would ever use.
No, they don't.
They'd get laughed out of their peer-reviewed parties.
So what about another conversation, that of Radiolab, produced by WNYC and featured here on The Science Show several times this year? You are divided, far more than you're divided on carbon tax or gay marriage. Just listen.
My Saturdays have been carefully organised to allow uninterrupted listening to The Science Show, presented eruditiously by Robin Williams. After about 4 minutes of the Radiolab anti-science chatty entertainment, I just had to switch off the radio. Who is responsible for this debasement of the ABC?
Awesome. Thank you for introducing us to Radiolab. What an immersive show. I was walking on the street listening to this and I gasped and laughed out loud. Anyone walking behind me probably wanted to know what I was listening to.
Is there so little of interest or significance happening in the world of science that we have to put up with this Radiolab nonsense thrust upon us? Seriously, is it made for children? The incessant giggling, mumbling, and rapid switching between speakers is most jarring and annoying. Where's the science?
Radiolab drove me nuts initially, but this time I got it. There is a place for fun. My retelling of the cat statistics had this old scientist's kids interested for once. I would hate to lose The Science Show, but I can also enjoy Radiolab occasionally.
Radiolab is fantastic. The notion of discussing complex ideas in simple, everyday terms is what a science show should be. The elite complicators need to realise that genius lives in those who can communicate science through living and breathing, not pontificating. Long live accessible ideas for sharing.
So the world, Australia, is divided. What do the guys themselves, Jad Umbarad and Robert Krulwich, say about what they do? It's a conversation between body and brain. This from a live performance of theirs.
We started the whole presentation with a piece of tape that got stuck in our heads as we were making one of our programs. It's a little clip that became the basis for the musical language show, and we played it for the crowd. It happened during an interview with a developmental psychologist by the name of Anne Fernald. She was talking about how moms talk to their babies, and she said this thing.
Well, you know, I think it's more, we're used to thinking of sounds like that as being about something, because speech is always about something. But it feels to me more like touch, where touch isn't about something. If you whack me on the arm in a sudden, sharp way, I'm going to be startled. Or a gentle touch has a different effect. And I think, you know, actually, sound is kind of touch at a distance.
Sound is kind of touch at a distance. For some reason, that phrase just stayed in the air.
Sound is kind of touch at a distance.
And I said to him, well, you know, that's literally the case, because if I'm making a sound, particularly through this enhanced device, air is pulsing and it's going into your ears. And actually, you know, we could do a journey that way. But this is then what we made. I'm going to play it to you first, and then we're going to dissect it, and you'll see what a genius I'm working with, actually.
All right, so this is an interview with Robert and Jonah, which we embroidered, shall we say.
More like touch.
It's just waves of vibrating air. It's just your voice.
Touch at a distance.
Beginning your voice box compresses air, and that air travels through space and time into my ear. A little tunnel. Waves of diffuse vibrating air focused and channeled into my eardrum, which vibrates a few very small bones. And the little bones transmit the vibration into this salty sea where the hairs are. And the hair cells are fascinating. The hair cells become active when they are literally bent by wave. They bend like trees in a breeze. And when these hair cells bend, charged molecules flood inwards and activate the cell.
So the sound triggers the bones disturbs the fluid rocks the hairs.
Yes.
And then the hairs set off essentially electricity?
Yes.
Huh.
That's the language of neurons.
All those changes from waves to bones to electricity, all those things were a trip on their way to being heard. It's only when the electricity finally forms a pattern in your brain, only when it's deep inside, that's when you hear something.
It feels to me more like touch. Sound is kind of touch at a distance.
Now, I don't exactly know how he did that.
Well, should I jump in?
I wonder if you could just break it down.
Sure. Yeah. When you open up sound in a sound editor, it looks kind of like that. So you see that each of the words... Okay, podcast listeners, I'm going to interrupt here just to tell you visually what happened next. I took that scrap of sound that we just heard, sound is like touch at a distance, and I opened it in a sound editor and it popped up on the big screen behind me. And what the audience saw was the waveform of that sentence. In a waveform, it looks kind of like a mountain range. Each little piece of sound is like a peak or a valley, and if it's a sharp consonant, it's a sharp peak. If it's a vowel, it's broad. And I demonstrated to people how you can literally grab these little mountains, these little hills of sound, and stretch them. For instance, if you took the ch from touch, just the ch, and you grabbed it and stretched it, it would sound something like this.
Ch.
So that's ch extended over a long period of time.
Yeah, and you hear how it sounds. It starts to sound a little bit like wind.
Yeah. Sound is also, in our case, we use it for a variety of things. And one of the more important elements is a kind of paint. We like emotion and feeling and surprise, and we are always trying to goose what we've got. And in a show about minds and bodies and the conversation between brain and body that goes on constantly and sometimes gets out of hand and sometimes gets us confused, it's a show coming up.
2, 1.
And more from that show next week. Radiolab, mixing sounds, music and emotion to tell their scientific tale. Why do they do it that way? Is it generational? Do young people like it and older ones hate it? Not according to the evidence and the prizes they've won. The science of Radiolab on next week's science show.